Local news, culture, and NPR.
Good evening, and welcome to another episode of the Music Emporium, brought to you by Moving Ahead Production. I'm your host, Kusar Grace, KG, right here in the place to be, WJFF Radio Catskill Studio Control Room. Once again, good evening to all the listeners. I hope everyone's in good health and keeping yourself safe, your family safe, and those in the community around you safe. We have to really pay attention to our health now, with the weather on the verge of we don't know what, but it's cold. And we have to be careful, even traveling, especially, even when you're walking. You know, there's so much ice, and sometimes people didn't shovel certain walkways, or you're walking on the street. You know, you have to be careful of the cars slipping on the ice if you have to walk that way to avoid large piles of snow piled up on the sides of the road or the streets. So let's be careful out there. You know what I'm saying? Not to get hurt and keep ourselves in good health, okay? So with that, I'm going to be doing another little segment for Black History Month. It's going to be talking about the, you know, Black United Front. It's going to be a speech given by Minister Malcolm X on the reasons why Black people can't seem to find a way to really unite and do the things that we need to do to improve our situation without depending on others. You know, that was something that was, you know, being done in the past, but we need to renew those strengths and side the struggles we involved in. So before I get going, let me give some shout outs to, you know, the listeners who be checking me out. Easy to Speak Easy with MBA Myra in Harlem. Janine, Bobby, Smitty, that's Liberty and Monticello, Joni, New York City, Kathleen, White Lake, Dan, Damascus, Barry, Shy, Terrence, Selector Starkey, Brenda, Jim, Matt, Naomi, Brother D, and I hope all those other people I may not have mentioned, or I just hope they be all right. Big shout out to you also, and big shout out to all the listeners who regularly listen to my program, okay? So like I was starting out this evening with just a little skit from, I'm going to start out with this little skit from Huey P. Newton, all right, just to get going. It's not much. Capitalistic exploitation of, here we go, hold on. Here it is. Hold on. Here we go.
The Black Panther Party calls for freedom and power to determine our destiny. The Black Panther Party calls for full employment for all our people. The Black Panther Party calls for an end to the capitalistic exploitation of our community. The Black Panther Party calls for decent housing for all people. The Black Panther Party calls for an educational system that will tell us the true facts about this decadent society.
Yeah, those are some of the 10-point program, the platform which the Black Panther Party stood on to bring about change in the communities in which they were engaged. So that was, you know, Huey P. Newton. And this is sort of what we need to practice, you know, sort of unifying once again, even though we was opposed by certain factors and the government as we did so in past tense. But it's time for us to start to step up once again, because seeing the government seems to be trying to eliminate a lot of things that's dealing with the history of American history and Black history, which is combined in sort of a way, because you can't talk about Black history without being talking about American history, because it's intertwined because of the tragedies that took place, you know, that was committed by a society against one sort of people during that time. But now we can't seem to find a way to get together and try to solve some of the problems that we face, which are still some of the problems that you heard the chairman Newton talk about in the 10-point platform of the Black Panther Party. Now, these are some of the things that needs to be studied once again. So we can try to solve some of the problems that we're going to be facing nowadays, okay? So the problem with what we see that's going on now is not just a system of, you would say, racism and white supremacy. It's not that anymore. So we can't look at the system in that fashion, because it's risen to a level of imperialism and dictatorship. So now it's not just Black people that the system is oppressing. It's starting to oppress all people that's not part of a certain category of people. So when we talk about Black history, now we're talking about American history also, because white people are starting to really feel a effect, because a lot of the people who are losing their positions, that held these positions for years, are losing their positions or being offered certain arrangements to leave their positions because of a new administration that's coming in. Now you feel the effects that Black people was feeling years ago. But it wasn't you who was being let go, to say. You know, it wasn't you that was feeling the effects of a system that was insensitive to your needs, okay? So, but what you're going to hear this evening from Minister Malcolm X is how Black people who should have been unifying themselves to get together and try to solve problems in the past, they couldn't find a way to do that because they didn't want to associate themselves with a certain category of people who was thought of as more radical and more militant at that time. But now you see that that time is a time that needed that sort of radicalism or militancy during that time to unify the Black people in order to solve the problem of the struggle we was facing. So this is a speech by Minister Malcolm X talking about how we can't get together, or didn't get together, during a unity rally that he was calling They was before the March on Washington, I believe, in 1963. Okay, so I'm going to get that going. I'm going to set that up right here. Let me get this right. Okay, this is going to be in vinyl. If I could get this turntable going. Okay, hold on. All right. So if you feel, see here, feel a few nicks or something like that. Like I said, this is vinyl. So it's a old album coming from the Wisdom of Malcolm X set. It's a 3-album set. You know, some of the speeches he gave then, as he was still in the Nation of Islam, are pretty rough, you know. So I'm not going to get into that part. But this is the part he's talking about how black people should be coming together but can't find a way to do that because they don't want to associate themselves with him or the black Muslim movement during that time. Okay, so let me see. Okay, I got it now. So here it is, right here. And I'll come back with something else after this is over. So this is Minister Malcolm X. The speech is called The Black United Front. Right here on Radio Catskill, the Music Emporium.
Brothers and sisters, we want to first thank you for taking the time to come out here in Harlem this afternoon to this unity rally. But I think before we go into our unity rally, we should give another round of applause first to the steel band that played earlier. And to Gus Denizulu and his African drummers and dancers who just finished. They made us feel right at home. Not down home, but back home. The only time you feel, or the only time you remember down home is when you see a rope. That's the number one memory that we attach to down home. But back home, our people are happy. A happy people. We love to sing and dance. We love to be in unity and harmony. We love to do things together. This is the African way. This is our way. We never knew anything about disunity and inharmony until we were kidnapped by the white man and brought here to America. Divided against each other and then used against each other. So we want to welcome you to our rally, our unity rally, for a united black front. To unite all factions of our people. To unite every one of the 20 million so-called Negroes into one group. And you'll notice, whenever the white man thinks that we're going to call a rally to knock our own kind, you see him jammed out here. He wants to hear us say something against King or against Bunch or against Farmer, against someone of our own kind. He jams out here. But when you call a rally for black people to unite, let's get together, you don't see too many white folks then. They don't like black people to get together in unity and harmony. As long as you and I are going to attack each other or talk about each other or heap scorn and ridicule upon each other, the white man gets his kick. But when he knows that we're going to come together in unity and harmony, he won't get his kick. He will get kicked. He had one of those strollers. So in calling this unity rally, We invited Dr. Adam Clayton Powell, Dr. Roy Wilkins, Dr. Whitney Young, Dr. James Farmer, Dr. Edward Davis, the Right Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, Dr. Gardner C. Taylor, Dr. Ralph Bunch, Dr. A. Philip Randolph, Professor James Lawson, and Dr. James Foreman. We invited all these so-called Negro doctors to come out and, since they are doctors, give their analysis, their diagnosis of the ailments that our people are afflicted with here in America. And after giving their diagnosis to this vast audience here in Harlem, then we wanted them to offer their solution. We told them that if they came out, they could give you and me, us here in Harlem, some idea of what we can do to solve our own problem. Instead of always running downtown to the white man, telling him what's wrong and begging him for his crumbs, we wanted to get together here in Harlem and analyze our own problems and see what we could do ourselves to solve our problems. Because as long as we sit around here waiting for some blue-eyed white man to undo what he himself is guilty of doing, we'll be another 1,000 years waiting for a solution to the race problem. Our problem has to be solved by us. We have to do it ourselves. Our condition has to be corrected ourselves. No white man can do it for us. No white man will do it for us. No white man wants to do it for us. No white man even has the nature to do it for us. So we sent them the letter pointing out to them that if capitalistic Kennedy and communistic Khrushchev can find something in common on which to form a united white front, despite their tremendous ideological differences, then it's time for the so-called Negro leaders to submerge all of our trivial minor differences in order to seek a common solution to a common problem posed by a common enemy to our people by forming a united black front. If the American government, which is a white government, and the Russian government, which is a white government, can get together and form a united white front, and that's all they form, a united white front, then it is time for you and me, time for us, to forget our little differences and in some way try to find how we can form a united black front. When you see...
I just want to stop that a minute right there, because you see what's going on with Trump and Putin now. Yeah, America and Russia is forming some sort of front, and they cutting Ukraine out of this peace deal that they've been talking about, or the ceasefire. So that means Ukraine is going to have to take the short end of the stick in order to stop the war. And if they don't, the war keep going. But Russia and America, it seem to be teaming up on this. Just like he said, America is teaming up with a communist nation. Just like Russia used to be a communist nation. I believe they still are. I'm not sure. But this is how things go when white people get together. All right? And they form their front. So let's continue on.
The enemy is not considered by them as white. Likewise with us. When you see you and I getting together, it is because we have begun to realize that we have a common enemy. And the only time we'll be able to come together with a common objective and a common goal is when we first develop a common motive. And that motive is best developed by recognizing the common enemy. And that common enemy is the white man. I say that common enemy is the white man. The white man is your enemy, whether you are a Baptist, whether you are a Methodist, whether you are an Episcopalian, or whether you are a Muslim, or whether you are a Mason, or whether you are an Elk. If you find yourself running into opposition when you're looking for freedom, justice, and equality, or some kind of right, you have to agree, always the one who opposes your right is the white man. Some old blue-eyed, blonde-haired, bad-smelling white man.
Okay, so I just want to remind the people, this is 1963 when he's giving this speech, so when he says the common enemy is always the white man, it's not that anymore. So we as a people, black people here in America, has to understand that if we continue in the path in which we going on destroying ourselves, we can't blame anybody else. So like I said, this speech is being given at a different time when black minds were on a different level. So when he talks about the white people, the way he's talking about, like I said, this is speeches from 1963. Okay, so let's continue.
Agree, always the one who opposes your rights is the white man. Some old blue-eyed, blonde-haired, bad-smelling white man. And he doesn't like you any better than he likes me. Some of you are dumb enough to think that he makes a distinction, that he makes a difference, but in his eyesight, there's no difference. When he puts his club upside your head, he doesn't care whether you're a Baptist, a Methodist, but he does want to know whether or not you're a Muslim. Because he knows if you're a Baptist or a Methodist, you're going to turn the other cheek. You're going to try and love your enemy. You're going to pray for them that despitefully use you. So he's not worried about you. But he knows if you're a Muslim, you're not going to turn the other cheek. If you pray for him, you pray that God kills him, or God helps you to kill him. That's the only kind of prayer you pray. So since you and I can realize we're all in the same boat, catching the same hell from the same man, it's time for you and me to unite, to get together and get this big white ink off our back. You got a bad habit. You're hooked and don't know it. You got what's known as white disease. You think you can't get along without the white man. You think you can't get some clothes without the white man. You think you can't get a house without the white man. You think you can't even get a job without the white man. You're worse than a man who thinks he can't get along without heroin. You're worse than the man who thinks he can't get along without morphine. You're worse than the junkie. You're in worse shape than the junkie, because the junkie only has a little monkey on his back and you're running around with a big white ink named Uncle Sam on your back. So I wrote a letter inviting Dr. King and Dr. Bunch and the others to come out to this unity rally. I have a card here from Dr. King's secretary saying, "Dear Mr. X, Dr. King is out of the city at this time and will be away for about 2 weeks. Your letter of recent date will be brought to his attention for a reply immediately on his return to Atlanta. We are happy to hear from Dr. King." Also, we had another reply from James Farmer, who said, "Dear Minister Malcolm, thank you very much for your kind invitation to participate in the rally you are sponsoring Saturday, August the 10th. We are in wholehearted agreement with your views that Negroes struggling for equal rights must not allow themselves to be divided. I deeply regret that a previous commitment forces me to be in Los Angeles on that day, and it will, therefore, be impossible for me to address your rally. Please express to the gathered throng the determination of Cor and myself to continue the fight for freedom in our country. We're glad to hear from Dr. James Farmer, who's busy out in Los Angeles fighting the blue-eyed white men. That's who he's fighting. Also, we got a letter in reply from Dr. Ralph Bunch, or rather from his secretary. Dear Malcolm X, in the absence of Mr. Bunch, who was in Europe, I acknowledge receipt of your letter of August the 1st, inviting him to attend a Muslim rally on Saturday, August the 10th, at 116th Street and Lenox Avenue, New York. Unhappily, Mr. Bunch will not be able to attend the rally, since he is not due back in New York until the end of this month. Your letter will, of course, be placed before him at that time. We're happy to hear from Dr. Bunch's secretary. We're sorry that he's tied up in business abroad while there's so much urgent business here in this country. And we do think that if he can settle differences between the opposing factions in the Middle East and in the Congo, he should be able to mediate down in Mississippi or Alabama or maybe here in New York City between you and some of these northern crackers. We also sent a letter to Whitney M. Young, the executive director of the Urban League, who said, Dear Minister Malcolm, I appreciate very much your invitation to speak at your rally on Saturday, August the 10th, as well as the general spirit of your remarks urging the need for cooperation where possible. I deeply regret that a commitment made several months ago will find me out of the city on that date and therefore unable to participate in the rally. All of them busy. Make me feel like that man Jesus was talking about who set a dinner and invited all the big shots, the lawyers and the doctors and what have you. And they all sent him back a message and said, well, the lawyer said he had a client, the doctor had a patient, the real estate man had too much property. They were all too busy to attend that feast. So Jesus said, the man said, well, go out in the alley, in the highway, and in the byway and get those people. They're not too busy. They don't have any job, don't have too much home, and they're not hooked up to the white man, and they don't have to ask his permission if he can come. So they always come out. Another letter from James Foreman of SNCC. SNCC is one of the more recently formed civil rights organizations. Dear Malcolm X, thank you for your invitation to attend the rally in New York, August the 10th. Unfortunately, I will be on the West Coast. Couldn't still be in the country and be any farther away than the West Coast. Unfortunately, I will be on the West Coast and will not be able to be present. I would like to have a representative present from SNCC and will forward your invitation to Cortland Cox, a member of our staff who is in New York working on the Washington March. You can expect to hear from him. I share your concern for the possible explosion of the present racial crisis. Thank you for this effort at working toward a constructive handling of the tensions. James Foreman, Executive Secretary of the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. This is a very nice letter from him, and I thank him for taking the time to write. And he did, or at least his representative was supposed to be here today. If he's not here, he will be here. Also, a telegram, well, I'll read you this letter first, from our brother, Roy Wilkins. He wrote the longest letter, and it's a good letter. Dear Minister Malcolm X, I acknowledge your courteous letter of August the 1st with its kind invitation to me to speak at an outdoor rally on Saturday, August the 10th, and to give an analysis of the present race problem and the solutions proposed by my organization. I regret that I will not be able to be present because of a commitment on the West Coast for that weekend. All of us here are so occupied with the campaign for the enactment of civil rights legislation in Congress and with the August 28th march in Washington, D.C., that I find no staff member available to respond to your invitation. It is my feeling that the NAACP analysis of the race problem is very well known, and the solution urged by it is also well known, having been publicized continuously for many, many years. I note and appreciate your assurance that this will be a rally for the statement of views and not one for debating, arguing, criticizing, or condemning, and that you as moderator guarantee order and courtesy for all speakers. I repeat that I appreciate this assurance, and in return I wish to state that I have never been apprehensive about appearing at a meeting sponsored by the Muslims. Now, I think this is good for Roy Wilkins to say this. I repeat, I wish to state that I have never been apprehensive about appearing at a meeting sponsored by the Muslims, for in all my contacts with you and your followers, I have met only courtesy and consideration.
And this is WJFF Radio Catskill, serving the Liberty community and all those other towns, villages, and hamlets who pick up our broadcast. Big shout out to you. Thank you for listening in and hoping you're enjoying the program this evening. I'm Kusar Grace, and this is the Music Emporium. And this is Minister Malcolm X you're listening to as a portion of Black History Month program. It's talking about how Black people should be getting together, but can't find a way to get together because they don't want to be associated with anyone in the Black Muslim movement who is also fighting for the same rights that they're supposed to be fighting for, but they can't come together. And this is what the speech is mainly about. So let's continue right here on Radio Catskill, the Music Emporium.
And it's a good letter. Dear Minister Malcolm X, I acknowledge your courteous letter of August the 1st with its kind invitation to me to speak at an outdoor rally on Saturday, August the 10th, and to give an analysis of the present race problem and the solutions proposed by my organization. I regret that I will not be able to be present because of a commitment on the West Coast for that weekend. All of us here are so occupied with the campaign for the enactment of civil rights legislation in Congress and with the August 28th march in Washington, D.C., that I find no staff member available to respond to your invitation. It is my feeling that the NAACP analysis of the race problem is very well known, and the solution urged by it is also well known, having been publicized continuously for many, many years. I note and appreciate your assurance that this will be a rally for the statement of views and not one for debating, arguing, criticizing, or condemning, and that you as moderator guarantee order and courtesy for all speakers. I repeat that I appreciate this assurance, and in return I wish to state that I have never been apprehensive about appearing at a meeting sponsored by the Muslims. Now, I think this is good for Roy Wilkins to say this. I repeat, I wish to state that I have never been apprehensive about appearing at a meeting sponsored by the Muslims, for in all my contacts with you and your followers, I have met only courtesy and consideration. This is Roy Wilkins. I am afraid I cannot say the same for some outdoor rallies held in New York City, in Harlem, and elsewhere, in which the Muslims were not the sponsors and not responsible for order. It happens that my schedule of out-of-town trips is so heavy throughout the year that I have not been able to be present at Muslim-sponsored rallies, but I wish to assure you that my absence is in no sense due to any fear that the host Muslims will be anything except fair and hospitable. Very sincerely, yours, Roy Wilkins. That's Brother Roy. I think it's nice of him to say that. And when a lot of these white liberals hear that he said it, they're going to get on him. They are. They're going to start calling him Roy X. Here's the last reply we received from A. Philip Randolph. Our wire: greatly regret that a previous long-standing commitment prevents my participation in your meeting Saturday, August the 10th. A. Philip Randolph. We're very happy to hear from him, too. We know he's busy. He's the one who's supposed to be over this march that the so-called Negro that's supposed to be making on Washington in a couple of weeks. And they're all of the civil rights leaders are very wrapped up in that march, in preparation for that march. And I think that most of the administration and people in Washington are greatly concerned. They would be more concerned if they didn't think they had everything under control. Where's that cartoon? Bring it around here, brother. An artist's conception of the march. It points out how, when the masses of black people originally stated that they were going to march on Washington, the government was shook up. It was afraid. All of the senators and the congressmen and the president, everybody down there, they said, we don't want all of the Negroes coming down here. They'll explode. And they got all the Negro leaders in to try and stop the march. You probably read about it. Try and get them to call it off. And the Negro leaders begin to tell them, we can't call this thing off. These are our people are stirred up. They're about to explode. If they, you don't let them blow you up, they'll blow us up. Why, some of the preachers were talking about going out to Idlewild Airport and sitting on the runway so the planes couldn't land. And driving out here on the parkway and blocking up the World's Fair construction. They were talking way out of their head. And the white man was shook up. And when he found out that he couldn't stop it, he joined it. That's what he always does. When he can't stop you, he joins you. And when he joins you, you're not going to go in the same direction you originally were headed in. So they put out, I think, $800,000 to give these Negroes $800,000. That's a little over, that's more than $500,000 to help finance the march on Washington. And promised them, I think, $700 million more after it was all over. This is not a secret. Everybody is talking about this. This is what they actually did. And then after they felt down there that they had everything under control, the man you see sitting in that chair over there, he said, come on, I think all you Negroes should come. Because he figured he had everything under control. And they think right now they got that thing under control. But you can't control any 100,000 black people nowadays. You can't find 100 nonviolent black people. And you can't find 100 people who still love the white man. Not anymore. Our people are waking up.
And that was Minister Malcolm X talking about the Black United Front, how we can't seem to get one. And that segment where he was talking about the March on Washington and how it was started by grassroots people, grassroots organization, grassroots churches and ministers. It wasn't those people who seemingly was at the head of it in the end, like Dr. King and A. Philip Randolph and all those people. It wasn't those people in the beginning. And it's just the same when you see how they paid them off in order to get in front of the movement to show that they was being the leaders of the movement to the people. And then the media jumped in and started to show the people recognizing these people as being the leaders of that movement, of that march, of what was getting ready to go down in Washington. And like you say, you hear the protests where they was going to shut down the airports and some other things during the marches. And that did have an effect on the government and what they was trying to do to stop this movement. Now, what he said is they gave them money and they put these people in front of the movement. Now, when the people was upset and they was in a really militant mood during the Black Lives Matter movement, and what happened with that movement? And what happened with all the no justice, no peace? and they was talking all these what's gonna happen and if this don't happen. But then they seem to have gotten funding to keep the movement going. And then they put certain people in front of this movement as leaders of the movement, of the Black Lives Matter movement, and they was getting all this funding. And they was painting the streets. And they was marching around and painting the streets and Black Lives Matter through these different states and things like that. But now where are the black people and the Black Lives Matter and all these movements in order to put forth the struggle that we continue to find ourselves involved in? We haven't made any progress with the Black Lives Movement since the time where we was talking about where Minister Malcolm X gave that speech trying to draw the people together. We have the same problems now. So the funding that they receive for the March on Washington is like the same thing that received the campaign for this Black Lives Matter, but we haven't made any progress. We still don't have large own things like transportation, construction, education. Now we have to worry about the education system and educating our children, which, like I said last week, we have to learn to educate our own children. You understand? So this is something we're going to have to come back to when we talk about a Black United Front. You know, so that's a problem that we still have, you know, trying to find some unification among different organizations that say they're working on behalf of the black communities around the country, you know, and we still have those people who oppose that who are black. So we have to fight against two fronts. You know, a government front and a front that is of our own making. You know, a front that, you see a lot of these black politicians and black doctors or black athletes. All of them are not for the betterment, to say. They look out for more of themselves and the society in which they live in. So that's another reason why we can't find ourselves a point. Even though we have a lot in common, we can't find that point where we could come together to try to solve those problems that we have, knowing that we have these problems in common. So, with that, I'm going to give you a little bit of music for a minute here while I get a little something organized. All right? That's another thing. We need to be more organized. All right? So, maybe I'll read that, you know, the 10-point platform on why organization is necessary. Maybe not. I don't know. I'll see. But until then, let's have some music. All right? I've got the Crusaders. This is Georgia Cottonfield right here on Radio Catskill, the Music Emporium. Thank you. Crusaders a little something. Anyway, Black History Month. Yeah, activities. Excuse me. These are some of the activities that, you use in schools and things like that in order to introduce or have certain information concerning Black history during Black History Month. But during the school year, which is seemingly, they seem to want to get rid of Black history studies in the schools and the colleges. Wow, excuse me. Okay. But these are some of the activities you could do during Black History Month in the schools or in the different communities, like Black building designers and architects. You could talk about that, or people who might want to get into, architects or designing, the Black fashion world. Discussions on slavery and discrimination, African school days. And here's a good one, making announcements. You call it Now Hear This. And you make announcements and read in each classroom during the day. You travel around the different classrooms in the school, and students may read different articles on Black History Month for Black historians or different articles concerning Black history, such as the Emancipation in 1863, and Black songs and Black history, or just make history by writing journals and different things, the struggle for equality. Talk about that and have discussions and roundtables, or student speakers, like I say, to practice your oratories, if you become a good speaker, or maybe a writer, or write poetry. So it's a lot, you know, things people could do in schools, you know, to introduce or have activities concerning Black History Month with students or in different community and churches also. So those are some of the things that can also be done during Black History Month. All right. So let me see if I can find some more music here to play and see what's going on. Let me see. But, I have another document I bought, and I'm not going to read too much or anything, but I was just wanting to talk about this. I'm not sure if people heard. Here's another Black figure and Black History Month people should know about, David Walker, and David Walker's appeal. If you haven't, if you don't have knowledge of it, here it is. It was appeal. It was an appeal written in 1829, concerning the conditions of the slaves and, you know, conditions of Black people during that time of slavery. But this was after the Declaration of Independence. So I would look at it, as him rebuking the Declaration of Independence by talking about this particular, or writing this particular appeal. Let me see if I can find. Let me see. Hold up. I'm doing too much. Okay, this is Walker's appeal in four articles, together with a preamble to the colored citizens of the world, but in particular and very expressly to those of the United States of America, written in Boston, State of Massachusetts, September 1829. Okay, so this is four articles. So it's pretty long, but it's really a good piece if you want to find out about another figure that a lot of people don't really bring up when they talk about Black history. David Walker and David Walker's appeal. So check that out. He was born in 1785 and he passed away in 1830 after he finished writing this appeal. So please try and look it up. Not just Black people. You know, if you haven't heard of David Walker, please look him up and check him out. You know, I didn't get anything set on this music thing here. I've been talking. So I'm looking around for something to put on. Let me see. Put on something. Maybe I haven't played in a while. Let me look in my bag here. Okay. All right, I got something. Let me see what time it is. Well, it's almost the top of the hour. But I was going to play something that's pretty long. I'm doing vinyl this evening, so like I said, when you hear a few pops and cracks, that's why. And this is one I haven't played for quite a while, and it's Herbie Hancock. It's Chameleon. And people who know this particular song know this a long piece. It's a long piece. It's about 15 minutes. So I've been talking a lot. And I hope I've been, you know, informing people. You know, there's so much dealing with Black history, but that's part of American history, because like I said, you can't always talk about what Black people did or what they didn't do according to what they have been through, you know, in this country. You know, so a lot of atrocities that took place in this country. And check this out anyway. After my show this evening, there's another portion, the third week of the Black History Month special promo for who's this? Fela. I said it last week. I said the name right. Fela Kuti. And hosted by Nina Cherry. And it's going to be Afrobeat Revolutionary. That's what it's going to be about. So you're going to hear some Afrobeats. And it's just another portion, the third portion of the musical of Black History events programs here at Radio Catskill. So that's tonight after my program. So stay tuned with that. So we could check that out. I'll be listening to it on the way home, you know, anyway. But, like I said, we have a lot of different events going on for Black History Month. So, this is a musical portion. Let me see what I got or anything. All right. So, I'm going to play some music for a minute. I was just waiting for the top of the hour, so I figure I'd just talk and let y'all know some things to check out. Okay? Like I said, I got a lot of stuff, so everything is sort of like all over the place. But I'm getting it. Okay. And, yeah, let me say this. This is WJFF Jeffersonville and Radio Catskill. Coming out of the Liberty Studios right here in Liberty, New York, Route 52. So that's where I'm at, live in the studio. Okay? So I'm going to go ahead and do this thing with Herbie Hancock right here on Radio Catskill, the Music Emporium. I'm
We'll be right back.
Tell me something good. I don't know what I got to tell you. Rick Brown, My World, Your World. Earl Clue, Captain Caribbean. And Herbie Hancock, Chameleon. Another little piece out of Black History Month. This is something concerning the government, how they try to keep black the Africans in Africa, how from uniting with the black movements here in America. And this was put out in 1978, the National Security Council Memorandum number 46/46, and you could check that out on the internet if it's still there. And this was through the president. The president got a Secretary of State, Secretary of Defense, and the Director of the Central Intelligence Agency received this memorandum. The subject was Black Africa and the U.S. Black Movements. And it was said the president has directed that the comprehensive review be made of current developments in Black Africa from the point of view of their possible impact on the Black Movements in the United States. The review should consider long-term tendencies of social and political developments and the degree to which they are consistent with or contradict the U.S. interests. A proposal for a durable contact between radical African leaders and leftist leaders of the U.S. black community, and appropriate steps to be taken inside and outside the country in order to inhibit any pressure by radical African leaders and organizations on U.S. black communities for the latter to exert influence on the policy of the administration towards Africa. And the president has directed that the NSC Interdepartmental Group for Africa perform this review. The review should be forwarded to the NSC political analyst community by April 20th. This is 1978, and it's signed, who? Zbigniew Brzezinski. Now, this is, he's passed away now. He's dead. He passed away some 4 years or something like that ago. But this is a paper trying to keep the black movements in Africa from joining with the black movements here and in America, keeping us divided by these sort of tactics that the government uses. Like I say, each time black people try to get together for the benefit of black people, the government tries to step in and some forms a way to find ways to destroy these sort of collaborations. So, like I say, it's not always, it hasn't always been blacks against blacks. You know, the government always tries to step in and find ways to keep us apart, you know, here in America and on the continent of Africa. So if you like to read more about that, that's the National Security Council Memorandum /46. Check it out on the internet. Okay? And this is WJFF Radio Catskill, serving the Liberty community and all those other towns, villages, and hamlets who pick up our broadcast. Big shout out to you. Thank you for listening in and helping you. You are enjoying the program this evening. I'm Kusar Grace, and this is the Music Emporium. And I've been doing another segment this week on Black History Month. I did on the Black United Front. I played a speech by Minister Malcolm X that explains why black people still can't find a way to unify themselves. Not only with that, here's a document showing how the government continues to try to keep African movements in Africa from joining with movements in America, so we can unite our forces to bring about a change, not only here, but there too. Have ties that's been cut and severed since the times of slavery. They took away our language, our culture, our spiritualities and religions, and all our names, you know, and put us in bondage. Then try to destroy our knowledge of Africa. So this is another, you know, way to keep us ignorant of ourselves and of our history. So with that, let me see if I got some more music. I got some more music. I don't know what I was going to play. Let me see. Okay. I had something from George Benson. I don't know. Here it goes. Well, here it is. It's not going nowhere. But I'm going to play it somewhere in the East. That's the name of this track. And that's what you're going to be listening to right here on Radio Catskill, the Music Emporium. Thank you. Yeah, so that about do it for me this evening. I hope everyone enjoyed the program that was listening in, and I hope that it kind of gave y'all some insight on some things you might not have known about Black history, or, you know, the fact that we still have things we need to do in order to get our house back where it should be, you know. So, like I said, with the traitor Donald Trump, yeah, he's still a traitor, you know, and people don't look at it like that, but, you know, you gotta see his treasonous move. So, anyway, yeah, he's trying to do a lot, him and his South African buddy, Elon Musk, you know, trying to shut down, well, they are shutting down things, but then you have to go try to keep them from doing it. But while you trying to keep them from doing it, it's still going on. So people, like I say, losing their job, or they have to take some sort of agreement to leave their job, you know, even though they may not have wanted to. But this is the sort of government that people went for. It's past the place where you talk about white supremacy and racism and white supremacy. It's past that. It's in the area now on the level of imperialism and dictatorship. So all that's being done is not just affecting Black people here in America. It's affecting all of the so-called lower class, below those who have the power and authority to do what they're doing. So with that, you know, should have rewritten the Constitution a long time ago, but they didn't think of that. I said that, you know, the Constitution needed to be rewritten, and if Donald Trump would have been in jail for the crimes that he committed, things wouldn't be the way they are here. And this is not even a whole month. I mean, two more days, it'll be the 20th, then you could say that's a month. But, you know, what's went on since the day he was sworn in, he lied about that too, putting his hand on the Bible and swearing to uphold the Constitution. But now people is talking about it, everybody. But I'm going to leave it at that for next week, okay? Check me out next Tuesday, 7 to 9. Until then, please remember the WJFF Radio Catskill isn't on your radio. Your radio really isn't on. Peace. Hotep. Uhuru. Good night. Don't forget to write.
Support for Radio Catskill comes from Steve's Music Center in Rock Hill. Musical instruments, audio equipment, and guitar accessories. Steve'sMusicCenter.com. And from listeners like you who donate at WJFFRadio.org.
This week on This American Life. Not long ago, Zach's father called to warn him that the country's power grid was about to be wiped out.
I know it sounds like conspiracy theory, but...
He believes a lot of conspiracy theories. Zach has trouble getting him to see the facts. And then they figured out a way to settle their arguments once and for all. See eye to eye, have a shared reality. That's this week.
This American Life, Saturday night at 6 on Radio Catskill.
WJFF Jeffersonville, this is Radio Catskill. local news, culture, and NPR.